Hello and welcome to Ascense Podcast, Exploring Standards. My name is Jess, and in this podcast, I will be talking to the experts in the consultancy industry. At Ascent, we pride ourselves on championing international standards. And in each episode of this podcast, I will be talking to expert consultants discussing standards, ISOs, consultancy, and everything in between to bring you industry knowledge and updates. Hello and welcome to another episode of Exploring Standards. I am your host, Jess, and today I have the absolute pleasure of welcoming Paul Venter to the podcast. Paul, how are you today?
Hi, Jess. Thank you very much. Yeah, keeping well. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. So Paul has previously actually worked as an external auditor and for a certification body, and has since transitioned to becoming a consultant. So I've not had a guest on before that has kind of made that transition, which is really exciting. Paul has experience in working with ISO 14001, 9001 and 27001. And our topic, unsurprisingly, is all about the transition from external auditor to consultant, which once again is something that we haven't really discussed on the show before. So I'm really excited to get into this.
Sounds good. Yeah, it is quite an interesting transition, I must be honest.
Yeah, I'm very, very interested to hear all about this. So can you tell us what an external auditor does and how it differs from a consultant?
Well, I've actually been very... fortunate, Jessica. In my working career, I've done both implementing, auditing, and more recently now consulting as well. So I've kind of had an insight into all three elements of ISO, the ISO world, if I could call it that. The only thing I haven't started doing is writing standards myself, but there's a bigger picture over there. But back to your question, the main differences between the roles of an external auditor and a consultant. I suppose if you if we could take folks back to their schooling years, it's pretty much the same as the difference between a teacher and an invigilator or an exam marker. If we think about the auditor, they kind of sit in the same realms as your exam invigilator or marker. They may not consult. They cannot help you while you are busy doing something. They are there purely to act as an independent verification mechanism to make sure that knowledge and the system is being implemented according to the standards. According to the standards being the ISO standard, as well as, let's say, your organization standards. You've got set processes that are in play for your organization. So that's really the main role of an auditor, to be independent and to do the checking. Where a consultant, very similar to a teacher, they kind of basically help the client either build, implement, or maintain their management system. They take a keen interest in the individual client themselves, and they kind of get under the hood and roll their sleeves up and kind of help out. The main ways of doing that is obviously by doing some kind of gap analysis, identifying either problems or gaps, and then they've got the leeway to actually assist the client to address those. So either by giving advice or physically doing a bit of hand-holding while while the client addresses the gaps. So that's the main difference. Auditors, they've got to have poker faces. They do a checklist, kind of left and right. Are things in place as they should be? They cannot help a client. Where consultants have the leeway to actually help the client, prepare them for the audits, and kind of see them grow and nurture into the management system.
I love that analogy that you've used. When I first got into standards and working in this industry, that was very much how I defined it in my head when I was, learning everything about this, was that that's how it very much felt to me. And I actually come from a bit of a teaching background as well. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, it is, consultants are your teachers and they help you through everything. And then the auditors. So it's good to hear someone else use that analogy and know it's not just me. So thank you so much.
Brilliant. Great minds think alike.
Great minds think alike. Absolutely. So are there any lessons or experiences from your external auditing days that help you work with clients?
Yes, actually, there are a variety of different ones, but just kind of three main things that kind of pop to mind. Pretty much, despite a good audit, life happens. As in many ways in life, an audit is a bit of a, it's an uncomfortable situation. I don't want to say confrontational because it should not be, but it's always a us versus you type situation. So generally speaking, people feel a little bit uncomfortable, they're on edge, and they're nervous. But essentially, life happens. So kind of the one thing that I have learned is just to roll with the flows. Yes, as an auditor, there is a program that you've got to address. There are certain elements that you, you know, need to cover. But I did find that the most successful audits are those where there is a bit of flexibility, you know, in both parties. How do I carry that through to being a consultant? Well, essentially, when I'm engaging with clients, exactly the same. You know, just be mindful that things might not go quite to plan with the work that we're working on any one day. And there's normally a valid reason behind that. And when I'm working with clients, particularly as they are facing an audit, you know, kind of manage that situation as well. Auditors like confident clients, and confidence also goes with being able to adapt to situation. Speaking of situation, another thing that I kind of brought across is that systems are inanimate. It is what it is. It's either a couple of buttons that create a workflow, or not, as the case may be. But it's the people behind the systems that are really the important element. In auditing, it's very difficult because, yes, there is a lot of awareness and interviewing that takes place. That's a personal interface. But especially in like the likes of 27001, there's a large degree of system, I wouldn't say system auditing, but utilizing of the system to get the evidence. So just one thing to remember from a consultant is that systems are inanimate. People behind them are the important thing. And I think that's what I enjoy about the consulting is the people element of it. I've spoken as well about people being nervous in that. This is something that I learned very early on as being an external auditor. It's not always easy, especially when you're doing a remote audit, you know, over camera to see people's expressions, see their body language. It's a lot easier to do so when you are in person doing a one-to-one with them. But a little bit of EQ, emotional intelligence, comes into play over there. And of course, empathy. And one of my downsides is I don't have very much patience with machinery and equipment. People I almost go to the other extreme and have too much patience with. But that is a lesson that I learned, and especially during auditing, found a happy balance with that. And I carry that through into the consulting as well. Again, enjoying more of being able to work on the people side of things. The other thing that I kind of picked up lessons learned is that across an organization at the different levels and roles, there are really different levels of understanding of a management system. You know, senior management might not always be as close to the system as what they potentially could. And so there are certain things that they potentially are unaware of. And likewise, at the other end of the scale, the coalface folks, if I can call it that, they're not often aware of how the senior bits of the management system fit together. So there are definite gaps, you know, or potential gaps. Let me not say definite gaps, but there's definitely potential for gaps in terms of awareness. Carrying that back into the consulting, again, it's a nice opportunity that you can engage with folks, explain the slight differences and the nuances, you know, at the different ends of the organization in terms of the different standards. And it's really nice to see those aha moments as the kind of the penny drops, and there's a little bit more insight and understanding. And that's a nice experience to have. And those are kind of some of the lessons that that I carry with me from my auditing days into consulting.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Paul. I mean, it very much feels that you've drawn a lot from the people side. And obviously you'll have that experience of knowing what how people feel or how people are during audit, to then put that into your consulting and saying, actually, it's okay. Don't worry, that we know that you're people. Exactly. And that, you know, things happen, and you know, you can give that confidence then to your clients to say, you know, I have been on the other side of the fence, I know what it's like, so don't worry, and I can there I'm there to support you. So that's fantastic. And it's great that you have so many experiences and lessons that you've drawn out.
Yeah, no, I do enjoy what I do. I've enjoyed every aspect of it. And it is interesting to see the game from the different sides of the fence, I must be honest.
Yeah.
Need help implementing a standard or maintaining a management system? Ascent Risk Management can support you throughout any stage of your project. The expert team delivers impartial consultancy and auditing services across multiple disciplines, including information security, cybersecurity, environmental sustainability, health and safety, quality management, and business improvement. More than just box ticking, their team works in collaboration with yours to build up bespoke management systems that return real business benefits. Find Ascent online at www.ascent1, which is ASSENT1.com.
So can you tell us then, what do auditors look for when they're auditing?
Oh, now that depends on the auditor. Essentially, an audit, as we all know, is a sampling process. So really what an auditor primarily is looking for is compliance with the requirements of a standard and the process. And what we're looking for is a consistent adherence to those standards. It doesn't help, you know, kind of half-heartedly addressing something because you are going to be found out. And it's not necessarily the auditor trying to be difficult. It is going to trip the entire bigger system up. They look for consistent adherence. Situational awareness and understanding in terms of the industry, in terms of the various processes that are involved in the management system, as well as the risks and the interaction between the risks, the processes, and the industry. It is very important. The main aim of a management system is to drive continual improvement. And in order to drive continual improvement, you need to understand what you're up against and devise really, really, interesting plans to achieve your goal. So a lot of situational awareness across the different elements of the standard is really what they are looking for. And then, of course, evidence. It's all good and well, you know, saying something, telling me something. I always used to fall back to, well, that's lovely, but can you show me? And that's really where the rubber hits the tar, so to speak. Evidence. Really what they're looking for is evidence that the processes within the organization are meeting the requirements in a consistent way, that the processes are structured, so that they facilitate improvement, they facilitate risk-based thinking and approach to the business management. Basically, at the end of the day, if you can, the auditor can see that your system is well-structured, that the elements are interacting appropriately, and that each individual element is achieving its intended outcome, they really look for the bottom line to be able to recommend continued certification based on the management system as a whole meeting its intended outcomes. So the reason why the company invests in that management system.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So you've just gone really, I think, into depth of what externals look for. So how now can companies prepare to be for that audit? How can they prepare to be audited?
Well, the best preparation is really just to go ahead and implement your management system. Some of the organizations that have been the most challenging to audit have been those that really are not doing their business and then separately implementing a management system. They are the organizations where the management system is almost a business as usual process. You know, you wake up in the morning, you come in, you connect, and life carries on. The best preparation is really to see how your management system can absorb the fluctuations in business. There is always going to be change. There's an ebb and a flow. And that's really the best way to prepare it. If your systems are in place, that will carry you through an audit. Closer to home or to zero into it, really, there's kind of three main areas that I can think of. The one is around the audit plans and the attendees. The second is around the processes and the systems. And of course, the last is around the evidence. In terms of the audit plan and the attendees, you know, it's always good if you are the one being audited to try and have some kind of mapping that links the different elements of the standard to where your okay. organization can find the evidence. The reason for that, I believe, is you are nervous. Somebody's checking your work, somebody that very seldom do you actually know. You know, we all go into fight or flight mode, and a map always helps us quite nicely with that. So it helps just give a bit of guidance over there. Secondly, still in terms of the planning, is take ownership of the audit plan. Yes, the auditors provide you with a plan, but as the auditee or the organization being audited, take ownership of that plan. Understand what they're asking. Assign attendees at the appropriate times for the appropriate intervals or aspects that are being discussed. And of course, give those attendees the support. No one likes to kind of be parachuted in or dropped into the deep end. So kind of identify appropriate attendees based on their role as well as what is actually being asked for. Again, brief those attendees. Very often, you know, this is a 45 minutes, hour and a half out of their day, twice in a year. You know, they're not really all that intricately involved with it. So a bit of a briefing does just help settle the nerves, gives them a bit of surety that they know what they're doing and they know what they're going to be presenting. Manage flexibility. Again, I say this very tongue-in-cheek, but despite a good audit, life happens. And that can be on the side of the auditor as well as your auditees. So, you know, kind of as the owner of the audit program, building a little bit of flexibility around that and try and stay calm. That's the biggest thing. In terms of the processes, review those processes that are related to the elements being audited. Ensure that you can evidence basically anything along that process. You know, and that's why we conduct internal audits as organizations before a main external audit. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of the evidence, be as prepared as possible. Now, very often, you know, evidence is almost self-presenting. And this is why if your management system is structured so that it's almost business as usual, this shouldn't really fluster you at all. It's, you know, oh, can we see A or B? Yeah, no problem. This is where we normally find it. And there it is. And the auditor sees that that is a consistent manner of approaching something. So just prepare for that. And of course, if you are the guide or the host, support those attendees as well. Very often, what I've found is that they, you know, someone is invited to participate in an audit and they gladly do so, but they're either too shy or they don't really understand what is going to be asked of them. So again, comes in with the briefing and giving them a bit of support around how, you know, how to prepare for the evidence. You know, maybe you can quiz them. You know, if they ask something like A, B, or C, how would you be able to provide that evidence? How would we handle something if the evidence being asked for is slightly outside of your remit? So it's all just open communication, really, I believe.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. You've given us some really, really good tips there to help people prepare for audits. To me, taking from that, drawing that, preparation actually is just key. In every element, get as prepared as you can, and then allow for flexibility. So thank you so much. My final question for the podcast today is how would you manage a conflict of interest? So for example, a client that you've ordered before, then it becomes a client that you consult.
Okay. Well, both in terms of consulting as well as auditing, obviously professional ethics are held very dear to our hearts. And one of those is obviously preventing conflict of interest. So impartiality in terms of being a consultant or an auditor is very, very important. If I could use the example of when I left implementing for specific organizations to move across the fence to become an external auditor. For a period of 2 years, I was not allowed to audit the clients that I had originally worked for. So again, it just kind of creates that air gap, that time for things to settle before you move on. In terms of the consulting role, well, there's absolutely no way that we or myself, I would allow myself to be either consulting to a particular organization and then be asked by a certification body to, you know, conduct an external audit against them. That'll be a total blatant conflict of interest over there. And there have been times where I have, you know, kind of indicated, wait, I've done work with this particular client before. I cannot audit them. And likewise, you know, kind of moving forward in terms of consulting, where I am doing work with a consultant and I do get asked to conduct an external assessment on them, you just very simply say, thank you for the opportunity, but no, we can't. As long as you keep those boundaries and those borders very clear, it actually does build respect on both sides of the fence. So that is all good. I think that's about the basics of it. It's not a very gray area. You know, if you've worked for someone, you don't audit them. And if you are auditing someone, don't conduct work for them. It's pretty as simple as that.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's completely clear cut. And I think you've really sort of shown that very clearly. You know, it's all about transparency, all about honesty, all about holding your boundaries and the boundaries that should be there anyway, and just being honest about it. So that's fantastic.
Yep. No, that's it. It's that's about the only thing that I can say in terms of conflict of interest. I mean, yeah, there's confidentiality clauses and non-disclosure clauses, but if we strip away all the paperwork and that, the basic is as we've just had a chat about.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much, Paul, for joining me on the podcast today. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Likewise, thank you very much.
And thank you to our listeners for listening to today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe. It really, really does help the podcast. You'll be able to find Paul. I'll pop some links to how you can talk to Paul, find Paul on social media in the show description. And we'll be back with another episode in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Check out the show description for links for more information on all topics discussed in the episode. If you enjoyed listening, please make sure you subscribe to our podcast and make sure to leave us a review. If you need any help with implementing an ISO standard or have any questions, please reach out to Ascent Risk Management to talk to one of our expert consultants today. We can be found at www.ascent1.com. We're also on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. All links can also be found in the show description. This podcast was produced by Jessica Ingalls and is a Clemark Studios production.